Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
Welcome to another post-game reaction episode of Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper here with Alex Pavlovich, and we're talking a little NLDS Game 4 this morning. We're going to be bringing you day-after reaction episodes of Giants Talk throughout the entire Giants postseason, which hopefully is going to go on quite a bit longer, but it's all going to come down to next game. If you're a fan of Giants Talk, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and go ahead and leave us a review. Alex said last time we've been getting a few great reviews from you guys. It's always cool to see those come in. And we got to remind you, what was that?
Six new ones. I counted.
Six new ones. That's
six people.
Sabermetric stat we like to track over here on Giants Talk. But Giants Talk is brought to you by Wendy's. Get a sausage or bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant for $1.99 during breakfast hours. Now, that's the stat I'd love to track, Alex. How many sausage or egg, bacon, Swiss croissants are bought on behalf of Giants Talk?
From you or from everybody else? Because I feel like every time I look up, you're a Wendy's. So
my entire Giants Talk paycheck goes to Wendy's. It's just a closed circuit there. They essentially pay me in fast food.
I will be after my wedding. Until then, I can't double up on ballpark food with Wendy's in the morning.
I get that, dude. Shedding for the wedding. I've been there. All right, so let's talk a little NLDS Game 4. Right off the bat, we saw it almost as soon as the game started. Desclafani did not have it tonight. We knew he'd been struggling against the Dodgers all year. But his most recent start, he gutted out a solid outing against them. Not the Desclafani we managed to see in the postseason against them, though.
Yeah, I just think, we saw it from his first start, and it's been all year. They just have his number, and he would have been an all-star. He would have been a Cy Young candidate if he never had to face the Dodgers. So I just think it's a lineup that, look, they have a really good approach at all times, except for in talking to people here, they felt like they really kind of came out of their approach against Logan Webb and were thrown off by him, especially how many changeups he threw in game one. But since then, I mean, we've seen that Dodger approach. They're going to grind. It's the Giants approach. They're going to grind. They're trying to put balls in the gap. They're trying to put balls over the fence. Like I've seen a lot of people on social media talking about how many times they thought like there was a home run tonight. And it was the same way in the ballpark. Like, that's what they do. They're swinging for the fences. That's what the Giants do as well. So it's a really good approach, and I thought they came out really aggressive tonight, and Desclafani certainly did not have his command at all. And you made a Star Wars reference that I didn't really understand, but I think basically it was saying guys were spraying the ball around. The stat that stood out to me tonight, he threw 28 pitches. The Dodgers swung at 15 of them. So they were just – they came out just ready. And – you kind of knew in the first inning, like, well, this is going to be 2 innings, 3 innings if he's lucky. So it was on from there.
His ERA this year against the Dodgers versus other teams is like triple what it is versus other teams. He's got a 7.5 against the Dodgers and a 2.3 against everyone else. Like you said, he could be in Cy Young contention if it weren't for these Dodgers matchups. Rough go. It really set the tone. Giants play so well when they managed to get the lead early. And I was really hoping they would squeak something out in that first inning. It was maybe the most mortal Buehler looked all game, and then that didn't happen. And he was rolling. Buehler was rolling. There was a lot of doubts about what he was going to be able to do on short rest. They've tried that with Clayton Kershaw in the postseason before, and it's definitely backfired for him to the point that he's got quite a reputation that I don't know if he quite deserves. So I was hoping for something similar with that with Buehler, but didn't manage to pan out. He was great.
I am a huge, huge respect guys who pitch on short rest person. Like, I think that's, it's why I've never really cared about Kershaw's postseason thing, because like he's pitched on short rest so many times in the postseason and pitched on shorter than 3 days rest. Like, he'll come out of the bullpen after a couple games. So It's really, really difficult. And look, the Giants spent all year trying to push their guys back, like trying to get an extra day of rest for their guys. And the Dodgers did that with Buehler quite a bit. And Dave Roberts said before this game that Buehler came in after game two and said, I want the ball in game four. Roberts said he actually probably wasn't going to use him tonight if they had won game three, which is kind of interesting because, like, it, you know, go for the throat, I guess. But they were going to save him for game five potentially. But he wanted the ball. He wanted this opportunity. I just think you have to, you know, anytime somebody does that, and if they can get past like three or four innings as he did, take a shot out into the fifth, like, tip your cap, deserves all the praise in the world. It's really, really difficult to do. These guys are creatures of habit. They are built to pitch every 5 days or more, not to cut it down in a tenth spot. So, I mean, he was really, really good. I mean, there's some issues on the Giants end, I think, offensively, and that for me goes back basically to the last homestand. I don't think since they've been back from Coors Field and since Belk got hurt, I don't think they've looked the same as the lineup. But tonight it was Buehler. And then every guy comes out of the bullpen, you know, like trying to make pitching ninja. So it's, what are you going to do?
Yeah. No, it is crazy seeing the Dodgers just trot out guy after guy who's throwing 100 miles an hour.
Or 103.
I didn't know that was allowed. Insane. Yeah.
And like 19 inches of horizontal run. It's, yeah.
In like the sixth inning. How is that guy not your closer? It's unreal. Yeah.
It's, you know, I think they obviously know this, but it's like a good lesson for game five. Like, try to get a couple runs off Urias early on. Cause I wouldn't be shocked. Like, you know, Max Scherzer is going to say he's available for that game too. So get to Urias early or you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're going to be looking forward to. We'll talk a little game five a little bit later, but let's mention the Giants bullpen, because all of these things we're praising about the Dodgers bullpen, the Giants bullpen just couldn't get it done, at least not until later in the game when it seemed like all was lost, but it seemed like they couldn't buy a strike.
Or throw a strike. Yeah.
Or throw a strike.
yeah, kind of uncharacteristic. Like, they are not the bullpen with nasty stuff, aside from Duvall, really. So, they're the group that goes out there and throws strikes. They're the group that goes out there and hits their spots, gets ground balls. I know this game was really hard to watch for Giants fans. I thought it was just absolutely fascinating because they were just like teetering on the edge of this mountain for 3 hours. Like, should have been 12-1 after like four innings. And their guys couldn't throw strikes. Their guys were hanging breaking balls when they were throwing strikes. How many balls tonight did you think were like a grand slam or a three-run homer?
Oh my god, dude!
It's over.
Every other batter,
Will Smith, they just couldn't pull away. So it just felt like the entire night, it was like a football game where like the entire night the other team's in the red zone, and every time you get the ball back, somehow you punt back to them, and then they're in the red zone again, and they don't score, and you punt back to, like, it was just Giants are having quick innings. The Dodgers go out there and it lasts 30 minutes. They have runners on first and third, and somehow only score one run.
I got to make that a testament to Gabe Kapler. I feel like he kept this game so close. He was managing his ass off, you know, like this could have been a game that they just punted. They put a position player out there. They just started resting guys for game five, but he was all in. He was staying aggressive with roster, with lineup changes to the bitter end. The team just couldn't close it out for him.
Yeah, we were sitting there trying to do the math and figuring out, knowing that they probably did not want to use Camilo Duvall unless he was trying to close out the series, trying to do the math there at some point, and you go like, how on earth is he going to get through this game without having to put Kevin Gausman in the game or put a position player on the mound? I kind of feel like he had Gausman in his back pocket and knew that if it's like 15-2 at some point, you just put, you know, Austin Slater out there for the last inning, and that's how you get through it. But it was actually kind of remarkable because they get to the eighth inning, and it's, you know, until that Will Smith home run, like, you're still within striking distance. You still have a potentially a shot against Jansen. And they were bringing Jake McGee in for the eighth and felt pretty good about it. So he actually did a really good job of getting to a point of the game where he had McGee for the eighth. And if the Giants manage to tie it or take the lead, you have Camilo Duvall. And you try to figure it out after that if it goes to extras, probably Kevin Gausman. But yeah, he did the math perfectly. And he, you know, he was out there all night. He was making changes. He was quick with the changes. I think the Alvarez one really hurt, the fact that he only could you know, his spot came up and they tried to score a run there, and Alex Dickerson's just not in a good place right now at the plate. But after that, like really, really quick to pull Castro. I thought they were trying to get a couple innings out of Harwin Garcia. He pulls him. Tyra Rogers comes out early to try to get out of a jam. Like, I thought he did a really good job. And to me, no matter how this works out, like the last 48 hours, the management after Alex Wood in game three, and then the management in game four to even have this be a close game. Like, I think Giants fans should feel really good about the way Gabe has managed in game. And that was the question about him. Like, you, everybody wants to make the jokes. Like, what's the computer going to tell you to do? Like, no, he has to go by feel in those moments, and he has to go by what he's seeing in the dugout. And I think the two games here, he really couldn't have done much better.
I keep seeing from Phillies fans basically the same recurring sentiment that with the Giants stacked lineup, anyone could manage this team to 100 wins. And it basically is like, tell me you've never seen a Giants game without telling me you've never seen a Giants game. What the Giants have done coaching wise this year has been so integral to getting them where they are. You know, Phillies fans are always going to be dismissive of Kapler's accomplishments because he went from doing nothing with their team being unceremoniously fired to presumably
what
winning
sort
manager
of Phillies
the year with
Twitter
the Giants.
Are you on that is like the lowest of the low, like Philly talk radio people who are still complaining about.
Are there
Gabe
any
Kapler?
Other Phillies fans than the ones you just described?
I've heard from a lot of Phillies fans this year who have regrets. And I don't know if I don't know what it is about me that draws a more sophisticated crowd to my Twitter. not in general, just from Philly, but I've heard from that, and I've heard from some Philly writers who say that a lot of their followers have regrets. And are
you
just
know what? One thing that's guaranteed about Giants talk is there's always going to be a team's fan base that catches strays every week.
Yeah,
and I apologize. It's the Phillies.
I think because
this
you're
one.
So into like fan Twitter and so like openly trolling when things are going well, like you're that's not a diss. I mean, it's just you're good at it.
Thanks, man.
I think you are probably drawing the people who like they see a tweet from you and they wait like 3 weeks to respond. They're like, I'm going to get back at that Cole Kuiper when the Giants lose a game. I have some Kapler thoughts.
All right, there we go. Fair enough. I do want to mention before we move on from the game discussion, Chris Bryant's been sneakily having himself a nice little postseason. The one home run was probably the biggest moment, if you want to put an exclamation point on a moment. But I feel like he's had multiple hits almost every game. He's bringing home the one RBI. You know, like good for him.
Yeah, for me, when you look at game five and look at going against Urias, I mean, I think you want Bryant and Buster like back-to-back in some form, whether it's 2-3 or 1-2 or 3-4, like because those two guys are the guys who have shown up. And Bryant has had a very nice series and underrated. Like I think, you know, he certainly bobbled that ball in the first inning tonight. I don't know that they were going to send Seager if he didn't, but he's been fine wherever they've put him for the most part defensively, and they've moved him around, has started four different spots in four games. So that versatility is coming in handy.
Versatility is, and I maybe we'll play a game of Chris Bryant bingo to see what positions he ends up playing on in
you know
game
what?
Five. We'll make this
Chris
fun.
Bryant, like they have prepared him to play second base at some point.
Did they really?
And it just hasn't happened, and I don't know how it hasn't happened yet. I think I don't know what the situation is, but they have been quietly preparing him to play second base at some point if they need it. And maybe we'll see it later in the postseason if they advance, but it's really interesting that's, I keep thinking that's coming out of the bag at some point and it hasn't yet.
Oh, now that gives me something to really look forward to either on Thursday or down the line. Yeah. Did you just give away the big secret? This was going to be the secret weapon.
I don't think Dave Roberts is listening to the Giants talk. So.
You may be surprised. There were a few, you know, we've talked about this almost every episode so far, the celebrity sightings at the NLDS. Dodger Stadium came out a little stronger in this game with Rob Lowe, Jalen Ramsey, Reggie Bush, Adam Sandler, and once again, Don Johnson. Apologies
to
everyone to
the
who
Don Johnson fans.
Yeah, the Don Johnson fans came out hard at me for not knowing who that was. I looked up his IMDb, loved him in Knives Out.
Yeah.
Anything other than that, over my head.
He's one of those guys that you and I were both like, we've seen this guy in a ton of things, but I have no idea what. So let's Google it. should we? Rob Lowe, like everybody would say Parks and Rec, right? Like I'll give him a shout out for Wayne's World. We're not that young. Like we remember things from the 90s. We're not
So is that what comes to mind right off the bat for Rob Lowe? Because for me, it's those commercials where he's like the weird Rob Lowe and the normal Rob
Lowe.
I don't know what the commercials are for.
There are a lot of people who are like, do not understand how we were. Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible. Don Johnson, no idea who the hell that is. So Rob Lowe, I've been riding with him since the 90s. Don't worry about it.
Adam Sandler. I've had Adam Sandler since day one.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Grew up on him.
Billy Madison.
Grew up
the on Hanukkah him. Song. So good showing. I'm excited to see if San Francisco can pull anyone exciting out of their hat. Someone cooler than Tom Cruise.
I will tell you, I think they have big plans.
Ooh, Alex.
Well, Giants insider there. There are some people who want to go to that game who, well, I'll just leave it at that. So,
oh my God. Can we, after this podcast, will you tell me? No, don't tell me. I want to be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
Don't tell me. All right. So game five is coming back home to San Francisco. Are you as stressed out about this as I am? I don't know. I feel like I've eclipsed and I'm now super stoked. I thought I'd be nervous right now, but I'm fired up. Players are going to be sleeping in their own beds. They get to go to their favorite donut shop first thing in the morning. All four broadcasters are going to be in the booth on KMBR for those of you who like to sync up your TV feed. The ballpark's going to be going insane. I hope I don't see a single blue jersey there. What's your feelings going into game five right now?
The postseason is really weird for me because I don't stress because I'm, you know, it's just our job.
That's like, right. Honestly, you're Alex Camilo Doval Pavlovich.
I know people don't understand it, but legitimately it's just like, it's like if I walked into, I don't know, Goldman Sachs in the morning or something. Like, it's just our job. Like, we're just going to work. So some these days are longer. They're certainly more intense. They're certainly much harder than the regular season. But I don't think we're like, at least I can speak for myself, like, I don't think we're particularly stressed during these about the result other than making sure we get everything into the story. So that's why it's so weird during the postseason, because like people, I think there are certainly people who stress over like a July game, but in the postseason, everybody else is just freaked out. So it's a whole stadium of people who are freaked out, and we're all just kind of hanging in the press box, like eating candy and rewriting our weeds. So I'm not particularly stressed. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really fun atmosphere. I think it's going to, you know, the fact that it's a Thursday night, like, I don't think we're going to see a lot of Dodger fans who are making that trip up there. There were not a lot of Dodger fans at Oracle Park last week. So I think it's going to be a really fun environment. And, you know, Logan Webb's fed off of that two times in a row, and that's the right guy to have.
Well, I am going to be there at the game. You're going to be there at the game. I'm hoping to do a post-game podcast with an even more shredded up vocal cord than I did on Monday, or what was that? Saturday, Thursday, Friday?
Sunday?
Dude, help me out. Sunday. There we go. but it's going to be a blast. So I think it all came down to this. We knew game five was coming from the beginning, whether we wanted to admit it or not, right? Like the writers of this.
I think it was Friday.
Yeah, that would have been Friday.
I don't even know. I didn't even know until I looked at my laptop. Today was Tuesday, so.
Continue. But for anyone who's been following the plot of this season of MLB baseball, the writers have foreshadowed this. Game five is going to happen. Giants and Dodgers are the two best teams in baseball. They're going to face off in a one game elimination game for all the marbles. They just happen to be bitter rivals dating back to the 1800s. As Dave Roberts pointed out, all the other postseason games have wrapped up for now. All the baseball eyes are going to be in one place. This was never going to be easy, Giants fans. This is time.
Yeah, I felt a little bad last night because you were so fired up. And I kind of said it last night, but I was like, there's no way this series was not going five games. Like, there's these teams right now, if you count the wild card game, they both have 109 wins. Like, there's just no way they were not playing winner take all game five to decide this. And I think they're clearly the two best teams remaining. The Astros look a little scary, but and the Red Sox have caught fire, but the Rays are out, the Brewers are out. Like, these are clearly the two best teams left from the regular season, and they're rivals. They've played each other now, I don't know, 24 times, right?
There we go.
Is it 24 times? 23 times? They played 23 times. It's 12-11. So this was how it had to be. It had to be a game five.
All right.
People are
here we
die,
go.
But it had to be a game five.
So our next Giants Talk episode is going to be Friday morning. we'll be reacting to a win or mourning a loss. Either way, it's been an absolute joy to be with you here this season, Giants fans, able to talk baseball with you, Alex, and we're going to have fun. So enjoy your day off. Eat your lucky meal, everyone who's listening, whether it's donuts or rally enchiladas or chicken nuggets with the skin peeled off. You know that shirt you were wearing when Bumgarner closed it out in 2014 or that ratty Giants hat you got a million years ago at the stick? Wear that. Find that spot in front of the TV that always brings runs. You know the one I'm talking about. And don't you dare move from that spot until it feels right. Or if you're going to the game, bring good vibes and a pure heart, because to quote Hunter Pence in 2014, there's and not anybody who picked our team to go this far. It doesn't take anyone to believe in us but us, and we ain't done yet, boys. Saddle the hell up. We're burning it down.
I feel like you're about to crack there. You're getting ready for game five. Yeah, it's I can't say it any better than Hunter Pence. So it's I think Dave Roberts said it perfectly too. Like, this is gonna be, aside from some bad Thursday night football game that I'm sure is gonna be going on Thursday, like, this is all that's going on. Everybody's gonna be paying attention. Giants, Dodgers. And I really, one thing that makes me happy is I think they're getting their just due from like a national audience a little bit, because I think these games have been, the series has really shown how good these two teams are, and you're seeing that a little bit. And so no matter how this turns out, the Giants are back on a national stage. They are back in the national baseball consciousness, and I think that's important. And they spent a few years in the wilderness there. It was a rough time. Nobody was really paying attention to them, but they are back on the national stage and have a chance to do something pretty special on Thursday.
Giants are back. All right. See you guys Thursday. Alex, let's get ourselves a win.